This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Greg Peterson going to join the program in the next segment, talk all things Major League Baseball a little bit later on. Paul Kelly, if you're out there, have not done your fantasy drafts, and we know people, Jensen, that have not done them as of yet, Paul's going to give you the cheat sheet before you have those last second drafts, because Jensen, we're 24 hours away, at least the day of the start of the NFL season, and that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan a little bit later on in the program, too. Could you make a stipulation that we're one day away from a double dip in the NFL with the Patriots going out to Seattle here in the United States and then Melbourne? And depending on your perspective here, the Niners and the Rams getting ready to do battle today, tomorrow, Jensen. The clocks are all over the place over there in Australia.
In 2 hours, it will be tomorrow in Australia. So again, we're counting it down, but very excited tomorrow night to get it underway. Patriots Seahawks. I've already played the Patriots on the money line plus $1.67. I've said for weeks I think it's a great revenge spot, a very motivated group. They'll hang the banner in front of the 12s, and then we'll get to see what circadian rhythms, and we'll be ready to be done talking about that after Thursday evening as well. That will be Friday there in Australia. So excited to see it all play, and we'll see which travel schedule NFL teams are going to emulate a year from now, because you know, Dave, this will be the first of many times that the NFL will go down under.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about our official plays that we have in pocket, but you and I both are on the under in that game in Melbourne. I've got under 49, you've got 48.5, which is where that number is sitting right now in those sides. I know you've got to play in the Niners. I have not pulled the trigger yet on either side for tomorrow or Thursday as of yet, but I've been noting where your mind is at for these very important kickoff games here in Melbourne and certainly tomorrow night in the Pacific Northwest. We also know that in Pittsburgh on Sunday, that it's going to be a former Dolphin and a lefty in Tua Tagovailoa that's going to be getting the start, because the other lefty, Michael Penix Jr., has not been cleared. He's going to be inactive on Sunday. Now, Jensen, before we break down this number, because it has moved, by the way, to the way of the Falcons, if you can believe this, down to 3 in Pittsburgh. Here is Kevin Stefanski talking about how he got to that decision. Was it just injury related to get to QB1?
I'm a blinders person. I got the blinders on, so I see week 1 in front of me. And after this one, then we'll start on the next one and those type of things. So I don't think it's fair to really go past this week on anything related to our football team.
And to that end, Jensen, your reaction says a lot. To that end, we know that Michael Penix says that while he is not 100%, he says he's close, Jensen. So it does feel like, and you tell me, because you know Stefanski can read that body language better than I in his Cleveland days. Does that tell you that door is still wide open for Penix to walk through it when he is 100%?
This is, I mean, if you could play Kevin Stefanski bingo, blinders, Dave, you know, what is week 2 to the side of them? Is week 3 on the other side? You know, we go forward. This team is in trouble. They're going to finish last the way they're going right now. And I would say, whoa, just load up on the Steelers. I would take the Steelers and Survivor right now, the way he's talking. I mean, it gets worse every day he opens his mouth about it. But that is exactly what we experienced here in Cleveland, cliche central. Feel terrible for Falcons fans. It's going to be a long year for you people.
Well, I hope it's not too long, because I do have some tickets on the Falcons, but I do like the Steelers in week 1. I'm right there with you. And that's why I'm a little bit surprised this number's down to 3, Jensen. Like, it was 3.5 yesterday, and it has come down that full half point. Maybe we've talked about it. There's a lot of 3, 3.5s out there in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just the market not willing to make some of these bold proclamations and give a lot of those hooks out there, Jensen. I think that's why maybe that hook has disappeared. But today, right now, you got to lay a little bit of juice in the 3s with Pittsburgh at $1.25. If you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, you're getting plus money if you're grabbing the 3 with the Falcons at plus $1.05. Look at that low total of 41.5 as well. If you stayed up late, you had to stay up really late last night. And look, I was all prepared, ready to go. Let's get in a nice wrap up to week one of the college football season. Let's get this thing put to bed early so we can go to bed and get our beauty sleep. I mean, a 2-hour delay. What's going on with the power in Tallahassee? And then SMU holds on, a chaotic night kind of beginning to end. They didn't have the clocks in the first half, got them in the second half. No iPads on the sidelines for the quarterbacks. Communication was old school, Jensen, where the players going over to the sideline and talk to the coach, relay it back to the huddle. But all of that, it's a wash if you had three, if you laid it or you took it, as it ends up 27-24 SMU.
Winner for us on the under 53.5. I wanted to say never in doubt once the technology went away and you kind of took an element of SMU because of how fast they want to go, Dave. So when you get that electronic issue, then, you see Kevin Jennings running over, getting the play, having to come back and like tick, 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 tick. Okay, this is going to be okay. We're going to be fine. They're going to be so super tired because not used to running over to the sideline and no one has the smoke signals up there in Tallahassee. So all's well that ends well. If you were an SMU live better on the money line, you're in great shape there. Mike Norvell before the game, Dave, on a lot of prediction markets, upwards of 42, 43 cents to be fired as the first coach let go in college football this year. That's up in the 80s from what I saw this morning. So doesn't feel like it's a matter of if, just a matter of when we get a coaching change there for Florida State.
There were a lot of boo birds for Mike Norvell year 7 down there in Tallahassee. And again, luckily for me, I was on that first half on SMU, laid the 1.5 and got that one home. Relative ease, but I will say this, like SMU let them hang around for a team that's putting up, what, almost 600 yards of offense. You didn't feel like it should be that close, and yet it was still a 3-point win here. You get the last second field goal there to put away Florida State. So again, depending on your number, if you laid the 3, you get a push. There were 2.5s out there for SMU earlier in the week, and I was fortunate to grab one of those. If you had Western Michigan on the money line, I know you're not over it from what we saw Saturday night there in the Big House. Now Oklahoma is coming in, a game we've talked a lot about here. They are 5.5-point favorites against Michigan, and Bryce Underwood will get the start. But let's hear from the new head man at Michigan, because how tied is he to Bryce Underwood going forward?
He's our QB right now, and it's not something that's infinite. I mean, at some point, we've got to turn a corner and we've got to see improvement as we do with a bunch of stuff. We got to see improvement out of the coaches. And so it's not just on Bryce, but it's not just Bryce's job that is not absolutely set in concrete. Nobody's is. I mean, you got to perform week in and week out and become somebody that we feel like is playing at a level that we can win with. And that goes far beyond Bryce. It goes throughout the whole team. And so it's what you've done lately is very important in football.
He kind of embodies the talk softly and carry a big stick mentality here, Kyle Whittingham, in year number one here for Michigan from his Utah days, and that nothing is promised to anybody, including the NIL quarterback that is under contract. And when he signed it, it was a 2-year deal for, I say, only $12 million. Think about that, where we are in context now. We're talking about salaries of college football players and whether or not that's going to make them tethered to the new coaching staff. Jensen, it is not a ton of money in this day and age of NIL for the deal that Underwood signed before Kyle Whittingham got there. Reading between the lines there, what do you hear?
He's got a great future for that call map where if you just need him to read, to you, he will put you to sleep in about a couple of minutes time. So that's the biggest thing I take away. As far as the game goes, I said it earlier for people just joining us, that under has my attention and more predicated on Brett Venables' defense and how they can limit an already limited Michigan offense with what we saw in week one. I do think John Mateer will do enough offensively. So the -5.5 for the Sooners to lay the points, I think, is also the sharp side. I haven't gotten to the window yet, but those are my two initial feels here on a Tuesday of what will be a big game in the college football playoff scenario, especially for Oklahoma, a ranked game on the road that they would be able to put in pocket. That'd be huge for their resume early in the season.
I mean, if you look up the worst possible way to get a victory in your debut as a Michigan head coach, I think last week would qualify. That would be it. That would be the poster child. How can you win and still have everybody doubting, booing, saying, you didn't deserve it, which I think is fair. And two, you guys look terrible in the process of not deserving the victory that you got. It's going to be a very interesting week there in the Big House. They're getting that 5.5 against Oklahoma. Jesus Lizardo, we talk about the big three for the Phillies, and I was really enjoying your conversation you had with Jim Bowden yesterday there on SiriusXM, talking some Major League Baseball after our show. And yeah, Jensen, that big three for Philadelphia might be good enough. And then for Yankee backers out there, Aaron Judge back in the lineup tonight. I mean, four games back of Tampa, maybe they can run them down here in September. But those are two very big pieces of information in the last 24 hours here for both these teams.
Yeah, we'll start with Philly, right? Because their rotation is built for October and to go a long way. You mentioned Lizardo and the complete game gem. Zach Wheeler's been amazing. Crisper Sanchez, all of them, Dave, have at least a 10 or higher strikeout per nine this season. Our friends at OptiStats telling us never in Major League history have three teammates each finished with a 700 or better winning percentage plus a 10 or higher strikeout per nine in the same season, a minimum of 20 starts each. this is going to be a problem for people on the National League side. The Yankees news is big, obviously starting against the Colorado Rockies tonight, and then the Subway Series beginning on 9/11 on Friday. You're just trying to get some game reps here for Judge. And if anything, it is a massive morale boost for this club trying to secure their spot in October.
And don't look now. Yeah, you can look. Shohei Ohtani back for the Dodgers, and they've won five in a row and kind of nipping at the heels here at the Brewers for that number one spot in the National League as well. Let's talk some more baseball with our guy, Greg Peterson, next. His best bets straight ahead, VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Week to VSiN by the books, and have Paul Kelly join us in the next hour, talking all things fantasy football, our chaos candidates, daily diamond straight ahead. And what about time travel? Is that what the Niners are doing? We're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan a little bit later on in this program. But let's hear from Greg Peterson right now, Jensen Lewis. He is the host of VSiN's Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, that Hoops podcast, Greg, it's right around the corner this time of the year. I know we're down to the nitty-gritty in Major League Baseball, but you've already got both eyes straight ahead looking at basketball as well.
Oh, absolutely. I just did my Sun Belt Conference preview a few days ago. We're getting set on the SWAC and the Summit League as well. We are less than 8 weeks away from that Field of 68 tip-off where we're going to have college basketball going down 24/7. I cannot wait for that.
All right. Plenty of time in the future to talk college basketball, but we got pennant fever here in Major League Baseball and a big one here for the Rays and the Braves. Series finale yesterday for Atlanta, a gem from Jesus Lizardo. They get shut out there. Kyle Schwarber, all the offense they would need in Philly. Can the Braves, A, get on the board today and up against a Rays team that has kind of been, in neutral in some respects here the last month or so?
Well, considering they're going up against Freddie Peralta, I sure hope that they can get on the board, considering man has an ERA above a 6 over his last 13 starts. AJ Smith-Shawver certainly is opening great for him himself. 7.13 ERA now. 4 starts, 17 and 2/3 innings. If you look at what he did at the AAA level, I don't think that it's representative of him. So I do think that there's going to be a little bit of improvement there. That said, I do like the over in this game. For the Braves, they've been... They've been having a little bit of a tough time on offense. Like, they have been a bottom five team in the National League in terms of run creation over the last 40 or so days. But I do think that this is a good spot for them to be able to get online. Brian Baker's now on the injury list for the Tampa Bay Rays. They've been a little bit up and down there. And I'm a little bit more of a believer in that Braves bullpen as well. They've been number two in the National League in terms of bullpen ERA. So right now I'm seeing that total at 8.5. Do like the over. And I like AJ Smith-Shawver to find it here a little bit more for the Braves. Both these offenses too as well. So like the over to go along with that money line of the Braves.
You know, Greg, I keep looking at the Orioles there in Charm City and you go, well, they're done. They're four games back. And then, boy, the state of the American League wild card, you beat the Guardians yesterday and now you're only three back. And that's the team you got to play. You're going to play them again today here in Baltimore. Are the Orioles live again? And if they do win today, no matter what happens here with Toronto or Texas, they're going to be just two back in the wild card.
Yep, and I do think that they get the job done here. I just have not been a Tanner Bibee guy all season long. He's given up 1.4 home runs per nine innings, and for as much contact as Brandon Young of the Orioles gives up, he gets only about 7.2 strikeouts per nine innings, gives up over three walks per nine innings. Tanner Bibee's been even worse with his swing and miss stuff, only about 7.1 strikeouts per nine innings. And if you look since July 1st, this is an Orioles bullpen that is fifth in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. They can be a little bit boom or bust at the plate. Other than Pete Alonso and Blaze Alexander, you don't have a ton of guys to get on base. And to the credit of the Guardians, they actually have been a top 10 team in terms of run creation since August 1st. Joe Adell, along with Nathaniel Lowe, have been able to make a nice little bit of a contribution for this team. But I do think that the Orioles do get to Bibee, do get in that bullpen a little bit. So like the 8.5 over, and I do like the Orioles at about a -125 to a -130 on the money line.
Yeah, Camden Yards has been a house of horrors for Cleveland. Let me just tell you from personal experience, Felix PA, if I ever find him in a dark alley, it's going to be JLU 1, PA nothing. Twins and Tigers. This one yesterday, the Tiger season basically ended over the weekend in Cleveland, Greg, with them getting walked off three of the four games. And of course, they come back and they beat the Twins, who are still fighting for a playoff spot. Can the Tigers turn the trick again in the Motor City here tonight?
Yep, and PA's last name spelled more like pie. So we're going to look to try to get ourselves a nice slice of pie on this game. And I think that it's with the Detroit Tigers because Dean Kramer has given up two home runs per nine innings. It has not been great for him, to say the least. It's been a little bit better with the Minnesota Twins, but for this Twins team, they just have been disjointed with that offense with Byron Buxton dealing with injuries all throughout the second half of the season. You've got two guys in Brooks Lee and Cody Clements that give you some production, both at 22 plus home runs, but both give you less than a 300 on base as well. And then for the Tigers, I know that it's been a little bit more shaky for them over the last few weeks. You mentioned how many times they got walked off over the weekend. They're still eighth in the league in terms of run creation ever since the All-Star break. The Twins are finding themselves at 20th. I'm actually a little bit of a fan of Drew Anderson. Spent quite a few years overseas over the last few, but he's been able to come back, give you over 9.5 strikeouts per nine innings. Think that this is a good spot here for the Tigers. Seeing them at a -140, I'm in on that money line. If I'm looking at that total of 8.5, I'm also playing the over.
Well, for Met fans, if you can believe it, not just because we might not have baseball next year, but kind of don't want the season to end right now. They're playing good baseball. They're playing good teams, and they're playing scrappy baseball, beating the Fish yesterday. What about today down there in Miami? Can the Mets throw another kink into the hopes of the Marlins trying to get back in the National League wildcard spot?
They always say that momentum is as good as the next day's starting pitcher, and Chapman has not been good. He's given up four plus runs at each out of his last four starts. A 4.70 ERA now, giving up a home run and a half per nine innings. And Sandy Alcantara has just been so much better at home rather than away from home. Overall for the season, that ERA is in the neighborhood about a 3.50. 0.9 home runs, 2.5 walks per nine innings. So he does a great job in terms of not hurting himself. That ERA goes below a 2.55 at home, though. Less than a half home run allowed per nine innings. And for the Mets, they enter this series dead stinking last in terms of run creation among National League teams. Now for the Miami Marlins, they're not generating a lot of power themselves, trading away Liam Hicks at the trade deadline. That did not help them out, but I think that Sandy Alcantara goes out there, shuts down the Mets. I was seeing a total of 8. I like the under. I do like the Marlins to be able to get back up off the mat here, and I like them on the money line.
All right, very good. With the way that the National League playoff picture is set up, it feels as though we've got last stand series here, and perhaps that's where we are with the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is a great little matchup here. White Sox closing in and trying to hold off the Guardians for the top spot in the AL Central. Meaningful baseball on the south side of Chicago this late in the year, Greg. Who would have thought it? But here we are, dandy of a series getting underway tonight.
Yep, absolutely. And it's like the Pirates are busting out the flintlock pistol to try to be able to make that last stand right now. And I don't know if that's going to be enough. For those that remember history, the flintlock pistol was not good, to say the least. And Bubba Chandler, inaccurate. very much like a flintlock pistol. 4.5 walks per 9 innings. When it works, it's effective, but I don't think it's going to be in this spot. Meanwhile, on the flip side for the Chicago White Sox, you've got a nice starting pitcher here in John Burke, who's been getting over 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And low-key, we talk about the White Sox and their three guys, Miguel Vargas, Montaka, Murakami, along with Colson Montgomery, that all give you 30-plus home runs. This bullpen has been a top 7 in terms of ERA ever since July 1st. They've really been able to put it together there. For the Pirates, they are last in the National League in run creation since August 1st. That has really been a big issue for them. I do think that the White Sox go out there, get the job done. I'd like them to keep the same half under. So I'm in on the White Sox on the money line and the total to the under.
Nationals offense has been lacking a little bit here post All-Star break and certainly trade deadline. And they've got a low total today against San Diego. Now, I am seeing that this total is starting to creep up a little bit, Greg. And maybe that's because they got word of what you're going to play here when it comes to this total today.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to be in on the over. For the Nationals, I mean, their games in general have just gone over thus far this season. They're number 2 in the big leagues in terms of run creation. Bottom 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Riley Cornelia looks like he's going to be an opener before Matt Waldron, which he's going to try to get revenge on his old team. But in order to get revenge, typically you need a little bit of ability. And I'm sorry for Matt Waldron, but he's a knuckleballer in 2026. That's not a place where you want to be. There's a reason why nobody throws a knuckleball anymore. And then for Casey Mize, 6.67 ERA since joining the San Diego Padres. The overall season numbers of 3.62 ERA, 1 home run, 2.2 walks per 9 innings are good. The recent numbers, not good to say the least. I do think they're going to get tons of runs in this game. If I had to play a side, I would be looking at the Padres on the run line, just because I think whoever wins this game is going to need to put up a gob ton of runs. And the Padres have been a top 6 team in terms of run creation ever since the All-Star break. So I like the over here. Even if this goes from a 7.5 to an 8, I still like it to the over. I do like the Padres here on the run line.
All right, last 40 seconds with you here. Let's get Reds Dodgers for you. Can we get a little run suppression with the way the Dodgers pitching staff is set up? And hey, Reds just playing out the string right now. You like the under in this one.
And I'm going to take the plus 275 here with the Reds, baby. It's been a rough season for Nick Lodolo, to say the least. But the walks are starting to go down for him a little bit. This is a Dodgers team that's averaging a full run per game less at home rather than away from home. They've had some very strange splits there. They're getting back Shohei Ohtani. That's going to help them out. But Dodgers, a so-so team with regards to their bullpen ERA. And for the Reds, they've been an all-or-nothing offense. They've been a bottom 10 team in terms of run creation. With having Drake Skubal out there on the bump, I think that you get a low-scoring game like the 8 after the under. And I took that big shot here on the Reds on the money line.
Love the enthusiasm. Greg, you're going to get out there. You're going to run. Has the Vegas heat kind of calmed down a little bit for these runs for you today?
We're down below 100 degrees, so I'm feeling great right now.
I don't know how you do it. Everybody, give him a follow on X. Very entertaining. GUnit_81, the one and only Greg Peterson. Sound of the day, you're going to hear it next, right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. College football is back in our lives, and the NFL season kicks off tomorrow night. Now is the time to get your edge with a VSiN Pro subscription. When you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're going to get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide, post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from all of our experts. Also, as college football season is upon us, we've got all those breakdowns of all 138 FBS schools. So you sign up today, you're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Going to have Paul Kelly join the program in the next hour. So again, if you've not done those fantasy drafts as of yet, Paul is going to get you ready for those last second drafts. And also, it can be very profitable. We start to think about week one props if you're into the prop markets as well. So take a listen to that conversation coming up a little bit later on. But let's have a conversation about the ATL. A lot of talk about the Falcons, and I get it. I know people are going to react certainly to what they've seen in the preseason. Now, is that going to be an overreaction? That is debatable. We know that right now it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa as the starting quarterback week one against Pittsburgh. That number is down to 3 points. It did hit 3.5 when that news broke 24 hours ago. But Jensen, let's hear from the other left-handed quarterback in that QB room, and that's Michael Penix Jr., who will not be able to play in week one. What about week two and beyond? Let's hear from Penix himself.
I feel like Coach Stefanski does a great job just making sure he maintains a relationship with the quarterbacks, and it's awesome to be able to have that in the head coach. But, yeah, I had that conversation. I just told him I'm not where I want to be right now, and I want to be able to be 100% so I can help this team with football games, and I'm really close, like, really close.
So you feel like you're days away from that more than weeks away from that in terms of being?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a time stamp on it. You know, I feel like it's more like just a feel of, you know, how I feel each and every day waking up, the soreness I may get, or, you know, how I react to a big day and stuff like that. So it's all of that. It's not really a timeline to it. But I do know, like, I'm really close. Like, I'm really close.
See the excitement in his eyes. This is a guy that knows his body well, and it's been broken down before, whether that's Indiana, certainly moving on to Washington, and then moving on now to the pros with the ATL, Jensen. So you guys as professional athletes kind of know your body. When you hear that from a guy like Penix, who says, I don't want to put a time frame on it, but I'm really close. Have you ever had a situation like that, Jensen, when you're like, all right, I know people are waiting. They're asking, hey, Jensen, when are you going to be able to go again? And you know you're close, but you just don't know how close, or you can't put a time frame on it. What do you hear when you hear that from Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah, 3 weeks. I don't think we see him before week four against the Saints on Monday Night Football. And if you really want to take as much time to make sure he is 100%, checks all the boxes, then you give the three strikes and you're out for Tua Tagovailoa. And to be fair, you know, if you look at the schedule for where Atlanta is, that also allows you that long week because it is Thursday Night Football on the road in Lambeau. And then you get the extra time and rest and also the onboarding there if you're making a quarterback change. So I would designate week four. If Tua looks the way that he's looked already this preseason, you know, 3 weeks. That also is a CYA for Kevin Stefanski and say, hey, we wanted to make sure Michael was ready. I know he said he's close, blah, 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 blah. But I think that's also going to be one of those spots too, where you get the veteran into like, hey, we gave you 3 weeks, man, and we're 0-3. So we got to make a quarterback change. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. I think that the cautionary tale for me is, and you know this, I don't put a whole lot of stock positively or negatively into the preseason. Now, remember, Tua started off on the bad foot. He got injured before, right as they're breaking camp. So we talk about injuries and kind of luck of the draw for certain teams. Well, they've been very unlucky there in that quarterback room here. So Jack Strand, by the way, is the third string quarterback in that room. I wonder, God forbid, if Tua went down and Penix obviously already ruled out for week one here against the Steelers. It's a pretty good pass rush, by the way, on the other side for the black and yellow. So Jack Strand, just remember that name there, people. I wonder if we'd see him in the first couple weeks if Michael Penix Jr. is not able to go. So Kevin Stefanski looks like he's searching for a quarterback. I think he felt like he liked the veteran presence of Tua in that room, but being dinged up to start off his regime there in the ATL, not a good way to start. Let's see what it looks like here in the first couple weeks. But remember that name. There is a possibility that he could play sooner rather than later. We're talking a lot about Melbourne, and for a good reason here. That's going to be game two of this NFL season over there in Australia. And we know that the time zone and the time difference and the Niners already being out there for a week, the Rams are going to fly in and fly back. It's like Top Gun. They're just going to whip right in and whip right out after the battle, and they're gone, right? So teams doing it a completely different way here. Kyle Shanahan, for his part, has now had some time to acclimate to his current surroundings there in Australia. But I wonder, has he reset his clocks and his watches? Because I think even Kyle might be slightly confused.
We did our totally normal routine. I'm not sure because we're, like I said, we're a little confused with when I look at my clock and it says the time, and then I try to see my family's time and it says the time, but it says yesterday. I don't even get how that's possible. So I feel like I'm in the future. And then also when we play on our Friday, which I think is a Thursday in the U.S., we're such creatures of habit. So I call today Tuesday. I call today Wednesday, which is the first day we put in a game plan. But I think it's Monday. However, though, it's Sunday in the present. So, like, I'm going to mess that up all week if you guys ask me. But today is just our first day of the game plan, which is a Wednesday. We'll put in some on a Thursday. Friday is the final part of the game plan. Saturday, we walk through when we play on Sunday, which is a Friday in Australia and a Thursday in the U.S. So don't ever make me do that again.
What'd you make of that?
So it brings new meaning to keeping a team off schedule on the field. And I'm going to be hysterically laughing if someone in the Netflix broadcast brings that up. And it's just going to be so symbolic of where we are. Hey, they look like they were throwing it into Friday with that pass. All right. I think the bottom line here is I like that Kyle Shanahan plays a bit of the Fox. I think he's pretty locked in, and I think he's making a nice little joke there at the podium, but I got to believe that there is a method to their madness on their side of, hey, I told this to you last week. It was a big reason why I jumped on the Niners money line is from personal experience. And that's part of my handicap in this, Dave, is when you change time zones that first day or two, I know it was just, you just felt off, but then towards the middle, like for instance, when we had a West Coast swing, from being in the East Coast. So let's say we played, you know, the A's and then we dropped down to play the Angels. I felt like I was absolutely on point the opener of that Angels series after 3 days. Now, I was better in the back end of the Athletics series from a routine, how everything was bouncing back recovery-wise. So that's my intrigue of the Rams side. Is, yeah, I know you're going to be on adrenaline. Yeah, I know you get all the lay down beds, and it's still, you're still going to have that mental fog to a certain extent. So I'm anxious to see execution wise. Dave, we know the game is a matter of inches, and this is the backdrop of an NFC West divisional matchup that is going to have all kinds of implications towards the end of the year. So put a pin in that. We're still at 3.5 in a lot of places, but
yep.
Fabulous sound from Kyle. A top 10 nominee for sound day here on VSiN by the Books.
I'll say this. It gives off Scott Steiner vibes for wrestling fans there from SummerSlam decades ago, where Big Papa Pump went into a whole dissertation on percentages and percentages of winning a match. And of course, those percentages didn't add up on purpose, which made it a legendary soundbite. And I think that's what Kyle was kind of getting at. Like, can he claim, hey, honey, I called you yesterday. Well, wait a minute, that was today. Or no, it was tomorrow. Like, you're just all discombobulated over there as far as the time goes. You know, it does get back to Pete Golding. Just let's line it up and let's play. Like, just tell me what time we're playing the game. Tell me where to be, and we'll be there. So I think the Niners are lying in wait here for his old buddy Sean McVay. It will be interesting, though, Jensen, seriously, that if you've got these kind of different coaches in the philosophies, Kyle's a little bit more laid back, and then, I can't wait to see how hot Sean McVay and the Rams come in for this thing. Because the game still is Thursday, at least for us stateside. So they're going to be arriving here very soon. Are they going to nap? Are they going to Matt Eumanns this thing and just stay up all night and then go play the football game and then fly right back and you can sleep on the plane? It's going to be wild to see the body clocks of these two football teams on display in Melbourne for game 2 of the new NFL season coming up here on Thursday night. Okay, we've got a lot to get to. Again, our chaos candidates are coming up straight ahead here in the world of sports. We got a couple doozies on tap today. Major League Baseball, Daily Diamond, Jensen. It was kind of a crazy day yesterday for some of the big favorites that did not get it home, like a Dylan Cease with Toronto. We'll get into that. And of course, Paul Kelly's going to join the program as well. If you have not had your fantasy drafts, I know, what are you waiting for? Paul's going to have some last minute advice. It's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Think you're better than the experts? Well, here is your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest puts you in the same pick'em format as the Circuit Friday Football Invitational, the one that the pros play. So Top Average Joe is going to earn a spot in next year's Circuit Invitational field. It is free to play. You can register anytime during the season. Edge Boost is offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. If you don't have an Edge Boost account, you got to sign up at edgeboost.io. Use the promo code VSiN and make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today at VSiN.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/JOE. Matt Humans, of course, does a great job hosting that Friday Football Invitational. Check that out here starting on Friday right here on the network. Jensen, we need it. We love it. In our sporting lives, it's time for today's edition of our Chaos Candidates. I mean, if you're old enough, it does have a very Barney Miller feel to it. Go back and look at that open, kids. All right, Jensen, you have won the coin toss. You've elected to receive today. First chaos candidate is whom and why?
Yeah, upset the apple cart on night one of the NFL, man. Give me the New England Patriots. And I know a lot of people will be inundated with watching not only the opener, but also kind of seeing where the dynamic of Mike Vrabel is and what the cameras will show us on that particular sideline. What is the synergy between Drake May and A.J. Brown out of the chute? Hey, what will the Seattle Seahawks do? They've got injury issues themselves. If you watch some Hard Knocks, they got some key guys out. Nick Imanwari, not going to be available, I don't think. Maybe it's a game time decision. Who knows? But boy, that is as key a cog. And you've heard Mike McDonald, if you've watched Hard Knocks, how important he views that guy in what they do in the secondary. So starting running back situation, if you're going to run out a rookie here, we know that could be dicey in its own right. Give me the Patriots outright to win opening night and shock the defending Super Bowl champs.
That would be chaotic if it does happen here tomorrow night. I think what would be even more chaotic right now would be if Michigan gets off the deck. And I know you're going to say, well, they won the game. They won the game last week against Western Michigan. Did they? No, I think we all saw. And now you look at the odds in the Big Ten to win it, right? There was respectable numbers out there in Michigan before the year. They have drifted to 32-1 to win this conference. And Kyle Whittingham's already talking about Bryce Underwood. Maybe we got to change quarterbacks. I mean, it's 1 week in the Big House and already we have pure chaos. And so, yeah, you get the win. Yeah, we got quarterback issues. We're going to start to ask, is Kyle Whittingham the right guy for this job? Maybe I'm not asking those questions, but you know already after week one, that's starting to be bandied about there in Michigan. So who are you guys? Are you guys still the team that won a national championship not that long ago under a Harbaugh? Or are you guys now a wayward program that's starting to drift to middle of the pack numbers here in the Big Ten? I mean, if you went out, it would be a shock to the system. If you beat, dare I say, Oklahoma at home, you're 5.5-point dogs. The marketplace has no respect for you right now, Kyle Whittingham. No respect for you, Bryce Underwood in Michigan. Who are you guys? Because if you go out there and get a legitimate win this weekend against Oklahoma, maybe we think and rethink of who the Maize and Blue really are. Because right now, Jensen, that might be the worst victory in the history of college football.
When extra time happens, that is the only program that has ever won in the history of college football. It's never happened before, but we see something new every year, and we will probably never see that again. We are Let's seeing something on the south side of Chicago, Dave, that has been something of a renaissance. And when you look at the days that I played back in the mid to late 2000s, the Chicago White Sox were a perennial force. I can remember facing the likes of Jermaine Dye, Paul Konerko, A.J. Pierzynski was a bit easier to get out, as was Nick Swisher. But the top and middles of those lineups were very daunting. A rotation that really was one you had to really dig in against. And of course, back ends of a bullpen, the days of Matt Thornton and Bobby Jenks. And, you know, does it feel like the mid 2000s again? might be offensively. Ooh. This team has three guys with 30 or more homers, Dave. For a team that lost over 100 games just a year ago, for a team that was 30-1 in some spots to win the American League Central, they are a quick three-week sprint away from not only achieving the dream, but also punching their ticket into the bye, into the divisional round, and a game one at Rate Field in which this town will show out. You are on the precipice of having postseason baseball on the north side with the Cubs, the south side with Chicago, and yes, a Windy City series would at least have legs. It would be viable. Now, this is a team, and when you're looking for postseason futures, Dave, there are a couple of spots that I would advocate for people to look at. On the pitching side, there is a stat on the advanced tab in FanGraphs. It is strikeout to walk percentage. And if you're looking at teams that traditionally go deep into the postseason, those pitching staffs will be near the top. For instance, right now, Cleveland leads in that category since the All-Star break at 18.3 strikeout to walk percentage. Philadelphia is second, the Dodgers third, Yankees fourth, Milwaukee fifth, Tampa sixth, Boston seventh. You're seeing where we are here. Playoff teams, elite teams, that's a statistic to be able to sink your teeth into. And then what do you have to do in October offensively, Dave? You have to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Well, since the All-Star break, the Chicago White Sox have 59 home runs. The only other team in the American League that has more homers, the Boston Red Sox, with 66. We know the American League is wide open. If Chicago finds their way to a top two seed, and I already have a nice, juicy cross-board parlay with the White Sox to win the World Series and the Bills to win the Super Bowl, maybe, just maybe, the Windy City Series could be coming to you late October. And ooh, my God in heaven, will that city burn to the ground from the north to the south side if that ends up being the matchup in the Fall Classic?
You mentioned those great White Sox teams. If Mark Burley was pitching, he would have already been beginning and end. The game's already over. That's how fast that guy pitched back in the day. Yes. That's for sure. You know, we had a great text that we got from our buddy Thomas Gable, who does a great job with us each and every Friday. And I didn't know what to expect for this first game in Melbourne. And as an American, I'm kind of like, man, I wish we kind of had our football here in the United States. But then we hear that the Australians are treating this like a national holiday, that they're going to have 100,000 people in a cricket stadium to watch the Niners and Rams do battle with our American football. We heard from Darren Bennett earlier in the program, great punter in the NFL, Australian punter, talking about the noise and one. It's such a big thing that the noise, you're not going to hear it. It could start on one side and you don't even hear it for a little bit later. It's like a delayed reaction, and that these fans are going to go nuts. Jensen, I did not think that the fans would play a role in the handicapping of this game, but I kind of want to know which side they're rooting for. Because if they're going to be that crazed for it, if there's 100,000 people in the stands, and if the Niners are kind of like the Jaguars in England, and they like these guys because they've been there for a week, maybe they're having a blooming onion or two, and they're just hanging out with the Aussies, the Niners could be Australians' team. And maybe all of a sudden Australia is back in the Niners plus 3.5, and I got to rethink who's going to actually have home field advantage. Is it there to be had for the Niners? I'm not sure, but the Aussies sound like they're going to stand up and be accounted for, Jensen. And so for a game that I didn't know from an atmosphere perspective that I'd have a whole lot of a rooting interest in, now they've got my attention. So I'm not saying this experiment works everywhere in the world as we keep taking our game everywhere else across the globe. But Jensen, it sounds like this fan base in particular cannot wait to see the Niners and the Rams do battle. And for that, because they're interested, I'm now even more interested. Australians, stand up. I think we're going to hear from you 100,000 strong.
We're going to have a Barbie this weekend. That means barbecue in Aussie slang. We're not friends. We're mates, Dave. We're mates.
Mates.
So on Thursday, we're mates. And one of my favorites, Chockers means full or packed. So we're going to say the cricket ground was Chockers last night. when we do the show on Friday. Just a couple of different things. In a Lewis Ross administration, we welcome all kinds of cultures as long as the United States is number one. Aussies, we appreciate your hospitality. Let's see what the Bobby looks like for you in the tailgate at the cricket ground there on Thursday.
I don't think I have any Australian gear. I wish I did. I'd rock it on Friday's show, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, it's lots to get to, including the Daily Diamond here. Boy, these games we always talk about in April, they do mean just as much here in September. Let's break down that slate next right here on VSiN by Books.